Now let's move to another topic. The Arab Spring introduced some unprecedented attitudes toward the press. Describe to us the kinds of reactions you received when people realized that you were a journalist with Al Jazeera English.
Well, there was definitely a difference between how I was received in Egypt and in Libya. In Egypt, it was interesting because during the revolution, when I told people I was from Al Jazeera English in the square, everyone loved you. Once you could get inside, it was like a free zone. You know, everyone wanted to tell you their story, and it was great for journalistic purposes. Outside the square, you told almost nobody that you worked for Al Jazeera English, and when you did, I remember one time I did, actually, it happened to be on the day of what they call the Battle of the Camel, before the fight had started, and I was observing a pro-Mubarak rally that later on would march toward the square, and I was interviewing people, and there was one very smart man who was pro-Mubarak, very smart young guy, so I decided to tell him where I was from. He was fine with it. He didn't care. But then other people around started to hear, and a crowd of about 30 or 40 people formed, and no one actually attacked me or anything like that. Much worse things happened to other journalists, but
right.
They were cursing and yelling and you know, using vulgarity and swearing, and the policeman had to step in and say, hold on, let him do his job. And so that was a briefly sort of scary experience. Because of Egypt, my Twitter followers just kind of exploded. And it was just kind of a random decision on my part to use the BlackBerry that I had gotten from work, because I had never been a real sort of like smartphone owner, and I had never used a BlackBerry before, and they gave me one before I left, and I decided that I would start tweeting from the streets, which I know other people were doing as well, but I don't know how many journalists were doing it, and I don't know how many journalists were able to do it, from the barricades, at least on the nights that I was able to get into the square, and then suddenly it was like thousands of people a day started following me. So Twitter, I suddenly became like a huge Twitter user, even though I had never been, I had never really been convinced of it.
And how do you respond to the idea that some have set forth that social media is what sparked the revolts in the Middle East and North Africa?
I think what social media has done, I don't want to call it the Twitter revolution or anything like that.
Right.
I think that's kind of silly when people talk about that. But there is a big case to be made for social media's importance in the revolutions, because what it does is it allows everyone to see that there are like-minded people out there. And so I actually think that this is going to have an effect in America and in Europe and in other countries in terms of mobilizing people, because if you're sitting in your house and you don't know that there are other people who feel like you do, you might not want to go out on the streets. But what happened in the Middle East is people put out YouTube videos. I mean, there was that woman who put out a YouTube video calling on all the Egyptians to go down on January 25th. And then once violence started to occur, it was very easy to show the rest of the world that violence was occurring. In Libya, it was extremely important because there were no journalists inside. Same with Syria now. And so I think that I'd almost call it crucial in terms of keeping the momentum going in the sort of early stages of these revolts. I don't think that, you know, the conditions for the revolts were there. They had nothing to do with social media. People wouldn't just take to the streets because they could. I mean, there were serious grievances, but it really helps mobilize and I think invigorate the crowds.